Welcome to Weekly Wings, your go-to podcast from DroneLife.com, sponsored by Insert Your Name Here. No sponsor. If you're interested in sponsoring the show, reach out. Got a wonderful episode today. How you doing, Samuel, Terry? Change things up there. You guys, you know, can't mess that up.
Yeah. Can't keep mess us on our toes, huh?
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking, Paul.
Yeah. Also, yeah, you, Samuel. Well. Either of you French? French? Olympics?
No.
Olympics kicked off?
Yeah, I've been trying to loosely keep up with that. It's been kind of cool to see.
You know, Samuel said he was a bad American not too long ago because he hasn't been keeping up with it when I brought it up. So,
well, it's like if you look at the medal, you know, if you keep up with the medal count, it's like we're always on top, but it's not like... Like you look at that gold number and then you see like total medals and we're just like collecting up a ton of bronze.
Yeah, well, we filled up the boat. I don't know if any other country did that.
Yeah, hundreds, right? Hundreds of folks showing up to France. We have the Olympics going on. I was thinking about it. I was like, oh, are they going to have drone racing in the Olympics in like 4 years or 8 years? But it seems to be, as I was thinking about this, I was like, you know, it is strange because it typically just seems to be like an athlete. You know, you think back to the Olympics, it's like the individual athlete that's doing the sport, you know, bouncing the ball, swimming in the pool. NASCAR is not an Olympic sport, right? You're in the car. And even then you're in the car. It seems kind of athletic, this racing, you know, you're sitting in a chair. But then you know what I watched? Dressage. You know what that is?
No,
what's dressage?
I think I'm pronouncing it right. Dressage. It's when the horse like prances and trots and like. So, how is that different than racing a car or a drone? If you're sitting on a horse,
there has to be some historical significance to this, right?
And then it goes back to, yeah, well, people have been doing dressage, you know, since the Olympics were founded. Oh, there's Snoop Dogg.
Well, I think they're going to, in the next Olympics, they're going to be doing esports. So,
are they? See, well, that very well drones in. Opens the door. Here we go. So Snoop Dogg has been at the Olympics. So if you really haven't paid any attention to the Olympics, then you would... You know, you might not know Snoop Dogg has made a splash at the Olympics along with Martha Stewart. And it looks like they were, looks like Snoop Dogg here was fully dressed. Oh, look at this. The two of them together. Oh, Martha Stewart and... That's weird to say. She was, I think, accused of like racism or something. So, anyway, the saga of Martha Stewart continues. But back, yeah, back. So here, you know, the horse, the whole get up. So you're on the horse, and then the horse prances around. I don't know if there's video of it.
Why was Martha?
Yeah, we definitely did some.
Do we know why Martha Stewart was on the horse? She wasn't competing.
No, Martha Stewart was not on the. Martha Stewart was not on that horse.
Okay.
No, she was just wearing donning the same outfit that team. Yeah, she was donning the Team USA outfit. So here we go, entering the arena.
It's in a very nice arena.
Just come to the center here, and now this horse is just. You know, no different than, all right, see, there we go. Here we go. The sideways. Here we go. You guys seen the, look at this. That horse is going, that horse is like going sideways.
Wow. Very impressive. Oh, it's going backwards.
Backwards. So a horse going backwards, but it's just this really fancy horse, you know, goes on. Now this is dressage. So if this is in the Olympics, why not drone racing, right? But with somebody did decide to bring their drone to the Olympics, didn't they?
Mm.
Oh, Canada. The Canada's Olympic women's soccer team is
Canada, the Canadian team here.
No, we can. No, we can.
We can. We're going to blame.
We can definitely do that.
Team Canada, all of them. See, they're all on the screen right now. Well, not that's probably not all of them. I mean, the coach.
That's everybody in Canada right there.
Everyone in Canada. Well, I don't know. I mean, I've heard that they take their drones seriously and they're doing some stuff up there. I mean, sure, Samuel, you're probably familiar with all the Canadian regulations.
I know a bit more than I ever thought I would, that's for sure.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. You got your Canadian certification, Samuel.
Yeah.
So it looks like the Canadian coach, or not the, a drone was being flown in this situation. Over another team, New Zealand's soccer team noticed a drone flying above their practice in Paris. So we got drone gate at the Olympics live in real time with, potentially some emails having gone back and forth. So this story gets pretty interesting. How do you guys feel about, you know, using drones to not just help your team get better, but, you know, an eye in the sky in order to see the competition?
Well, I mean, it's a sport. Anybody will use anything to get ahead in a sport, and drones are just another tool we can use to do that. I mean, cheating has always existed, and it always will. I mean, they solved this very quick. I wonder if he just gave up. Just like, yeah, here's my emails. I did it. Ban me. Get it over with.
My contact info.
Yeah, here's my contact info. Here's my login. Just get this over with.
Yeah. Emails discovered. Folks losing appeals. The Canadian soccer team is just certainly going to be having to deal with this for the fallout of this for some time.
I mean, I don't know what you can exactly get. I don't watch soccer, never really played soccer. I mean, maybe like their formations that they're practicing. I don't see, like, it's not like you have like voice recordings of what they're going to do. It's just like you're just watching them. I don't know.
It's some good old New England Patriots, right?
Well, what if we just like went into the stands and just watched them play? Is that illegal? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's certainly interesting, but I was looking at, you know, to look at that medal count and you kind of think they're, these countries, this happens, you know, every 4 years for a Summer Olympics, and you have this board that goes up, and traditionally you're used to just seeing, you know, individual people's names and then the flag next to them. And you kind of look at this and you see it's the actual country itself. And then for that sport, you know, if someone's going to take a medal in a certain sport, you'd think, hey, the government, that's going to open the door for development of that in that country. You know, potential for the individuals on either the individual or the team, the players on the team, that's going to, you know, open lots of doors for in-country advertised, just monetary things. So it's, the stakes are certainly really high. But we've also gotten to the point where I think so much is happening. There's so many events. Each, you don't even know when it's happening, and then the time difference. So it's a really interesting, I think, experience, the Olympics overall. But pretty interesting. Just to make a transition here, it's like these people can get drones out. This is how readily available this technology is you have folks in Paris using it to try to get an upper hand on their competition. But meanwhile, a lot of news has come out regarding drones at the Trump rally. So article comes out in Drone Life and published pretty much everywhere. It's the all these hearings that have been happening, the drone point is being hit so much harder from at least what I've seen in like the last 2-3 days or just over the past previous week, with, you know, senators, politicians, just everyone across the board really trying to understand why was a drone not used in this situation. And then the fact that, you know, we really see that there was a local agency that offered the Secret Service the use of an unmanned aircraft system in order to increase the security at this event. And the Secret Service repeatedly declined offers from those local agencies. And then meanwhile, what we've also heard from the FBI director was they were trying to get their counter UAS system up and running, but due to cellular, I can't remember the exact terms, because of like cellular congestion or bandwidth issues, they weren't able to get the counter UAS system working, which makes no sense to me. Because if you have a local drone detection system, why would it need cellular bandwidth connectivity? I mean, you set it up, you plug it in, you give it power, you define your area of coverage, and then that's it. If you want to push that information out to the cloud and other folks, then yes, you would need cellular connectivity. But to be able to locally detect UAS operations, if this individual is able to fly their DJI drone, there's really no reason, from what I'm hearing and understanding, that the Secret Service counter UAS system couldn't have been deployed. And then repeatedly denying, my only thought here is their federal agency, the local police have a DJI drone. They're looking at that drone and they're saying, no, you know, we don't want to be associated with a DJI drone because, you know, could you imagine if the drone went up and flew and nothing happened and people photographed it? You're going to have this whole, you know, slew of articles coming out where it's like, oh, you know, these drones are bad, and yet the Secret Service is using them.
Have some potential bad PR.
Well, I think this. Well, I don't think it's that. I think it's just a coulda, woulda, shoulda moment. It was a massive. They had some incompetence during this event. They were probably just lazy, didn't want to fill out the paperwork involved to get these drones up and get the radar up for the drone. They probably just didn't want to do it because it was too much work. I mean, if you look at how this went down, all in all, it was incompetence. So I don't think it had been bad PR. I don't think anybody really cares about that.
Yeah, you're right. So legally, they'd have to, you know, file for a authorization because of a temporary flight restriction. You know, everything I understand is just because you're a federal agency doesn't mean you wouldn't have to still submit for that documentation. What are your thoughts here, Samuel? Counter UAS, having drones available, is it?
I don't even necessarily relevant. Know if it's what just do you think? About do you all think? The paperwork, but it's also just like, again, I think it kind of circles back to, do they know like kind of how to, do they have the training to set up an automated flight route, or would they have to be on sticks the whole time and just kind of like, I don't know what the level of expertise is there. I mean, surely it's not super hard to pick it up and just use it, but then you're dedicating a whole person to completely be eyes on, hands on. And maybe potential other people watching him do it, a part of the UAS team, as opposed to having someone with a lot of experience doing it and doing it super well automated. And I don't know. That's kind of my thoughts, though. kind of the expertise level.
Yeah, the system that's appropriate for this area, a tethered drone, you know, potentially that no one had to manually operate with unlimited power, you know, supply would have, you know, could have worked out well. Was that readily available? Probably not. Having a drone that you have on some pre-planned and having the ability and understanding to do that. Not that it's hard, but these are, you know, government agency. The counter UAS thing is what I think is a huge piece, but it sounded like from most recent conversations, they're like, well, we're going to light a fire under, you know, we need to get drones integrated into this now. And it just makes you think like, wow, you're hearing this from the director of the FBI or the secret service saying like, you know, well, we're going to put all of our focus on this. And like, what does that mean? You're going to put like eight people are all of a sudden going to figure out like how to do something that you should have really been figuring out. This isn't new. This is not new technology, especially when there's handfuls of American companies that are trying to survive and sell their products. And you've got one of the biggest, you know, agencies in the US that could be a customer who's like, you know what? Yeah, we're going to go all in on drones now. Now that the American people has questioned us, we're all in on drones. Fun times. This looks like an airplane photo we've been having shared here. But it was also interesting, I don't know if anyone saw, and before we can move on to the next topic, is the angles that they started to show, like, and the more videos, like, there is a lot more of those creepy videos where you can see the dudes going across the roof line, you see his head popping up and down, and you're like, that's crazy. A week ago, I wanted to try to consume as many videos as I could and try to act like an AI computer. And I was like, I'm going to find, you know, what someone else couldn't. Well, clearly people have been doing that. And but the 3D modeling where you actually see the counter snipers may not have really had a certainly clear view. And people are calling each other out now. It's like, no, the locals should have been standing in that way. But they had no way to communicate to each other. Pretty crazy stuff there.
Camera just cut out. Sorry, I'll try to get that fixed for you guys.
Saw that. Technical difficulties. And so bringing in a interesting tech piece, technology, UAS. This is a Swiss system that researchers have developed. It's a perching drone, but not with your traditional perching sit, you know, on top of. It is a drone with hugging wings. It hugs like a tree. And so for the folks viewing, you know, here on video on YouTube, you know, what you're seeing right now is basically a side-by-side image of the drone on the right here and an owl on the left-hand side. And so this group of folks in Switzerland looked at an owl and how an owl is able to take its wings and wrap them around a tree in order to perch. And they have applied that to a fixed wing drone system.
Just kind of want to put some googly eyes on the drone.
You have these. When you were a kid, Paul, did you have these like wrists, like their bracelets that you would slap onto your wrist and they would just kind of curve around your wrist? This is all this is reminding me of, is just those.
Yes, yeah, the
same process.
I think it was like a snap band or snap bracelet. And some people would take them. I think they had some metal ones and like just try to smack you as hard as they could.
Yeah.
Notably, it has
a lot of purposes for this drone.
It has claws, wrapping arms, and adhesive pads. They went all out on this design, and you can kind of see from the diagram you have that pulled up. It's pretty thorough with it. It looks like the I was going to say the neck of the drone or the part four. It actually doesn't look like it's completely aligned until when it hits to the next thing. It actually snaps into place. So I don't know if that's like a fish hook type thing.
Yeah, it flies. It's like it pretty much flies straight toward the tree and then increases that angle of attack. And has that upturned nose is what they're referring to it as. A detachable.
Basically a bumper. It's like a rubber nose that just smacks into it. That's the only purpose of it.
And then claws. And then on the underside of the...
Oh, go ahead, Paul.
I was saying the claws on the bottom of the wings, it has like you said, like fish hook. So it wraps and then... gravity might, you know, pull it down a little, but as gravity causes it to, you know, go toward the base of the tree, it's going to really sink those hooks in.
I wouldn't compare it to a fish hook. I would say more like a cat's tongue or like almost like a piece of sandpaper. I mean, you think that's going to dig into whatever material it's on. It's like a high grit
sandpaper. Kind of like Velcro.
And then you use the bottom of the tail to kind of stay on. Yeah, or like a one side of the Velcro, like the hard plastic piece. It just kind of self-applies to rough objects.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive, though. It says the impact speeds of 3 to 5 meters per second. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it is
probably pretty hard to pilot into a tree, huh? It doesn't look like it's too big. You can't put on like two masses of a tree yet, so you have to like kind of pilot it into a 6-inch tree.
Gecko,
it's a little tough,
and it's gecko inspired, so it has that perch capability, like the owl with that wrapping capability, but then. As we've discussed, what they're comparing that to is like a gecko. That design that you were kind of saying, Terry, like a cat's tongue, like that's inspired from a gecko where they're making the overall surface itself almost adhesive and then giving it that textured surface that allows it to really just hook onto that tree. So not entirely sure. This is one of those interesting things that, you know, this kind of technology or idea or patent or, you know, could be built into a future system or some kind of defense system or, you know, something that's really a specific use case.
Well, I one potential use I could see for it is making temporary security cameras for the Trump rally, potentially. I mean, that could have happened. You could fly it into a tree, have a camera on its back, and it can just, you know, I mean, it's like a drone that, I don't know. It's just my thought process. You can use it for security applications, temporary, or you could even make it more permanent. So, like, you fly it into a tree, send somebody up there to screw it in, and it just drills it in itself. I don't know.
Or if it's pre-perched there, and then it's waiting. Like, so if something happens, it could, like, again, it can readily deploy. It's blended in. You don't necessarily
definitely need a lot more engineering to get that to happen. That is a good idea. That would be pretty sick.
Just make it look like the owl, and it'll be like, look at that owl that's perched on that water tower over there.
It's weirdly with or without hugging the Google a water X. tower. What's going on?
with the googly eyes, but like one that's like fallen off.
And who made this? Is it like a college? This, or is it just like a company?
It was Swiss researchers. I would have to go back and look. I can't recall if they named the a specific
Swiss Federal Institute of Technology.
University. And they're doing, and this just speaks volumes to the fact that the Switzerland is this like hotbed for this development of drone technology and advanced technology. Goodness, another international location that Samuel, you've been to Switzerland, right? You're a Canadian pilot. You're
kind of funny because it's specifically saying Lausanne, which is the exact place.
Is it nice? Is there trees there?
Oh yeah, it's absolutely beautiful. I mean, all the parts I got to visit were breathtaking. So that's a great place to fly a drone, especially with Lake Geneva right there.
Yeah, I certainly have to get there. So what do we got next here, Samuel?
Yeah, I brought this story up. It popped up in my algorithm once more. We have drone light shows. It is kind of doing some PR celebrating the release of Deadpool, Wolverine, Deadpool 3. I'm not sure what everyone's calling it, but they got some really talented folks together. I believe, what does the drone count say on that video, Paul? I believe it's like 2,500 drones. It should say in the description below.
400.
Had that
2,400.
It's quite a few drones, and they do some really cool stuff with it. Right now we have a video pulled up, and FPV drone is flying near the light show. And basically light show is, this is in downtown San Diego. Over the weekend they had the Nerd Mecca, the Nerd Convention Comic-Con. So they went ahead and put on this show to kind of do some PR with Deadpool Wolverine. And it looks really cool, to be honest. They have all these different characters. They have just all these very these cool callbacks, sick. I would say. Just insane.
Dude, that's
work.
Pyro. That's drone pyro. That's the fan. Isn't that the Fantastic Four?
Yeah. And I myself haven't seen the movie yet, but I can imagine, knowing Marvel, all these names that are popping up are probably in the movie.
Do Sky Element.
And this is a world record for the U.S.? I could have swore there's a company that did like 4,000 drones. We talked about them.
This is U.S. Back. There was the overseas. It was like 5,000 something something. This is the biggest in the U.S., hands down.
That pyro kind of really sold the effect.
Yeah, whoever thought of the pyro for the Fantastic Four really outdid themselves.
Just thinking Johnny Storm.
And this is the company, Terry, that did the Eagle.
Oh, okay.
Sky Elements. They're the ones that have the drones with the pyro on it in the United States.
They've been busy, huh?
Sky, holy shit.
I was going to say, I looked up their YouTube after seeing this video, and there's quite a few videos in there that piqued my interest.
Whoever made that, give them a raise. That's amazing.
The light, the way it's, the drones are there, and then the light, like, I can't get over this. And then the guy or girl that did the FPV shot, as this was, like, in real time.
Don't mess up.
Like, to capture that, that's insane.
All like, Sorry, go ahead.
We've talked about light shows, but not like this at all. Go ahead, Terry.
All I can think of is somehow using that to make like a Doctor Strange portal for a new Marvel movie that would be coming out. Like, just imagine his portal opening up and then having him come through it. They have to do that one day, right? After doing that. That's perfect. What's happening there? What was that?
It looks sick. I mean, those listening, you have Deadpool. I would say he's what, like 100 feet tall or so? And he's just pulling out his swords, but it's all completely animated. All these outlines, fireworks going off, different colors.
Looks like an intern filmed this from the Fox 5 San Diego's building, just with their iPhone through the dirty window.
This is like their this is like one of their cameras that's just sitting on top of a building that they usually show and like, oh, it's sunny today. You know, it's just always seeing it. This is crazy. It looks like bombs are going off. Like when it blows, when the fireworks go off down there, it looks like bombs are going off. And it looks like you were saying, like, you could incorporate this technology into the movie and it looks like, that looks like some bombs are coming in.
I think that was actually a plot point for Spider-Man No Way Home. Is that the one?
Yep.
Which one? Is it Spider-Man? Spider-Man Far From Home.
It was Far From Home as the one with the multiverse. He used drones kind of like to make like almost like a projector illusion of the world he was in. I don't know how to explain it to you, but
holy cow. Like, it's just crazy.
I wonder if they had like if they had pre-made panels or what, because these are some really like dynamic poses for the characters.
And while we're hitting on the movie drones and movies, Twister had drones.
Oh, really?
They had a drone that they used. So drones are slowly getting more spotlight.
Like, was the drone itself a character, or was it like an implementation in the making of the movie, or both?
One of the characters flew drones to watch the tornadoes. So it was like a fixed wing drone. I think they also, I've seen a few like bigger matrices, but yeah.
Like even just the explosions, because think of like to add that without having to use CGI or the ability to make the CGI so much more realistic because you're layering like real explosive.
Well, why would you use that when you could pay somebody $20 to make it in CGI? Sorry, that's a bad joke. Sorry.
I don't know. Because you can, I guess.
Something CGI, right? Like a Maker's Strike? I don't know.
Yeah, that was...
Animators.
That was epic. And the number of drones that they laid out, like when they showed it in that...
It filled up the entire field. It looked amazing.
It's kind of weird since this is a backwards the whole field. Video. I'm assuming they just got it on the wrong side.
The amount of people that were like setting it up, the time that goes into this, and then they got good weather.
Oh yeah.
Everything kind of comes together. Cause that's the only thing I could think of. You plan this out, you get all these drones, and then you kind of just cross your fingers. And I didn't notice if they had during the opening ceremony of the Olympics, which was extremely awkward and if anybody had to watch the opening ceremony, I didn't notice if there was any drones or not.
A lot of pyrotechnics
in the, yes. But then again, it was raining. It was, now that I remember, it was pretty poor. I think they were getting drone video. I think they didn't use drones. If I do recall, I think there was aerial video. They might've had a couple of drones from the, you know, broadcasting side, but nothing, from a show. Our next kind of topic here, we're going to cover SkySafe wins contract to enhance border security with drone detection technology. And I know this is something that's Terry's probably all in favor of, drones at the border, right, Terry?
That's crazy. That's something crazy to throw on me like that. I mean,
I don't know. Well, and then the other thing is, but see, remember, it's not just drone use. What if you want to catch the bad guys' drones, right?
Bad guys' drones. I mean, it's going to be my personal opinion on it. I mean, it's great to have, but I mean, most of the stuff that's coming in, they're not moving that small of quantity into the U.S. They're moving more than 20 pounds at a time.
Oh, come on, though. You got to recon ahead. You got to, you know, what did... And so this is for drone detection capability.
Just make yourself more suspicious.
We're enhancing the border with drone, you know, leading SkySafe, a leading counter UAS drone detection is bringing their counter UAS technology to the border in order to enhance it. So, yes, they're not using small drones to do the thing, but aren't the small drones just like, to go back to the Trump incident, you know, small drones used in order to scout ahead, see what's going on, you know where you kind of can and can't go.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's not completely useless. It's just if for like smuggling reasons, like one of the things that it's not going to directly stop smuggling of anything. It's just going to make it slightly harder. But then they got tunnels, and then they, you know, kind of just do whatever they want over there.
I'm kind of curious if they've already identified like key places that they want, because I can imagine with the border being so massive, like you're going to have to choose very select places. Yeah,
theoretically, dude.
What was that, Terry?
Yeah, it's...
Well, it's like they can't do anything to the drone when it's on the other side of the border, so it would have to cross the border. So technically, they can get half of the border, and then they can't do anything about it. They just know it's there. And you'd have to fill up the entire border with detection software or whatever. I don't know.
But I think if as I'm trying to, you know, think through this in real time is, you know, I think it's like the marijuana that's being brought over in most states are legalized recreational or medical use of marijuana. And the ones that haven't, you know, hell, it's there anyway, because things have elevated to such significant levels, like fentanyl, right? Which we hear a lot about. You know, a small amount could it's not, it could, small amounts of this are killing Americans. So you don't have to bring these huge, from what I'm understanding. And if you can do it consistently, even a, what, 1 or 2 or 3 pounds, 4 pounds is probably more than before. And then we forget, like, DJI just came out with the fly cart. That drone can carry like 50 pounds. Technology's like moving rapidly. So I do agree that the border is massive, and then little drones that are readily accessible aren't really a concern. But when you think about these cartel folks and the amount of money they have, these are like, you know, they have resources, and they're not like the Secret Service. Oh no, we don't need your drones. They're like, drones? Yeah, can it go
sign
here?
Me up.
All right, we'll take 10. Yeah.
Well, it's like a modern day what was his name? Pablo Escobar. I mean, he started using airplanes to get coke into the U.S. I mean, now we're using drones to get it into the U.S. It's another aviation related, I don't know, kind of headway into, I don't know. There'll be a Narcos episode on this in the near future. Look out for it.
Well, if they're integrating this, if they're adding this technology and this contract's going out, it's because it's already happening. Because really, in you know, we're not, the government isn't just going to throw money into, to a degree it will, like research or development. But at this point, they're like, no, we have this happening and we need something to combat it. And it's not that we can take it out, because this system isn't going to shoot it down, drop it, take it out of the sky. They're tracking it. So they have people on the ground that don't know where anything. Oh, I'm in a border patrol truck and I'm, you know, how the hell hard is it for an individual to secure the big ass border? You know, oh, here I am. Well, now what if they have some alert, push notifications that alert them that it's like, hey, drone's been detected. Just get to this area, and then they're going to find the areas where they're dropping stuff, because it's not like anywhere along the border is going to work. There's going to be like, you know, specific areas that are going to meet this concealment, cover, efficiency. And if you can start to figure out where those areas are, you know, you just make it more difficult. So
yeah, it's all about just making it more difficult.
That's like just try to deter it. Deterrence, deterrence, deterrence. Because if you're trying to catch up on that, on the ass, and like too many, I'm like way surpassed the bad words, is you're behind, right? When the people and when these folks are dead, they're found, the older folks, you know, these addicts, these folks that are just don't know what they're getting into because of what's getting pumped and pumped into here, you know, so at least to try to be in the front side, put the cameras up, have this, put your perch and owls, right? We'll get a couple, let's get a couple owl drones with googly eyes out there on the border, out there on the border.
Do you see how,
how this is all coming together. So then the, so if it sees it, just fly the owl drone out there, have them ready to, it's super exciting. And then I think you might see a point where, why don't we start to get some of these Asalon, you know, drone dogs on the border? Why don't we
like harvest them for parts?
But let's make them look like hyenas. Yeah, let's put some hyena robots on the border. Or remember how we talked about at the zoo, the bear looked like a robot.
Yeah,
let's just get some lions, man. Let's get some robot lions. Out there, a pride, a pack, what do they call them?
They just
a grouping, just a collection.
Maul them to death if they cross the border. Mechanical, they just got like razor sharp teeth.
Oh man, that would
be solid.
Oh goodness. And they, so I guess keeping on a security aspect or a geopolitical aspect of drones. It looks like last week we thought we had like, you know, two different views in the NDAA. But between our previous episode and now, Senator Rick Scott of Florida has submitted an amendment to add the Countering CCP Drones Act to the NDAA. For the Senate version. What that means is if it was approved, basically this on this specific subject, the Senate and the House versions would read almost the same.
Hmm. That's Rick, not good news.
Senator Rick Scott is from Florida. The act was first introduced by Senator Rick Scott, Marco Rubio, and Tom Cotton. Marco Rubio being from Florida as well. Why is that really important? In the state of Florida, no public safety agencies, no government agencies are allowed to operate DJI drones. So the state of Florida is one of the states in America that has actually already enacted legislation that prevents government entities from purchasing and operating DJI equipment. So it's like a states' rights thing. Like states can choose and do what they want, but you also have the federal level, which is what these people who've already got it at their own state. I believe Arkansas was another one that passed some legislation. They're trying to push what they see at their state on at the federal level. So it's just crazy because it's one of those things where, you know, you can have it either way. If it's, you know, some other hot topic, you can push it to the states and say, oh, it's a states thing. It's a states thing. But that might not involve a country. If, for example, like abortion, that is not, doesn't involve China, at least from what I understand. When you look at the use of DJI drones, they're involving the fact that this is manufactured in China. Well, and of course, it's not the Countering DJI, it's the Countering CCP Drones Act. So they're saying this is a threat. The CCP is a threat to Americans as a whole. And so at the federal level, these drones shouldn't be allowed for purchase. And so this is really depending on how you look at it, it's either good or bad. But DJI and Autel. So what they've added is identifying Chinese military companies, adding to restricted list DJI and Autel. first responder secure program. So they want to establish a program that will provide grants for public safety agencies to purchase or leasing secure small drones that are not made by foreign entities. Leasing drones, like a police department is going to lease a drone. Oh, this drone's so expensive. You can lease it. Like, it's not a car.
I mean, I bet for the public perception, for nobody that knows about drones, this sounds great, though, you know? Because, I mean, they're going to be making sure they don't have any Chinese drones in your airspace, not in America.
And so this comes out, and now the FBI has their whole team of people going, well, we need to get drones. All right, which one should we get? And they're looking at this, and they're thinking, well, we can't buy any of these drones. They've got all these DHS, DOD, federal bans and requirements. So they're like, well, we have to go buy these U.S., you know, company drones. And that's when reliability comes into play. And we've touched on this before. If you're baking something into your security pie, you need to know it tastes good all the time, not sometime. People don't like to eat bad pie, right?
Not a pie that you pay for, no.
Is that?
It's free. Who cares? You know?
Well, I'm telling you this. American-made drones are not free.
Yeah, there you go.
those are some of the more expensive, pieces of pie that you might ever buy. And in fact, you don't just buy a slice. It's like, you got to buy the whole thing. And, but solutions exist. I'm looking forward to getting out of a time period when we're going like, you know, from week to week, like, oh, it's not here. Oh, it's here. Oh, it's not here. Is it there? When is it? Is it this? Can it be that? If we can get to a point where it's just like, all right, if you're this, you can. If you're that, no, this isn't allowed. This is allowed. Because it would help us, you know, be able to give people more straightforward answers instead of saying, well, this is what I think could happen. It's like, well, you know, even at the end of the day, I don't even care what I think might happen because I know that it's probably wrong. So I'm like, this is me in my head going, well, what do you ever think matters? And what? So anyway, like I said, when we get to a point where we could just explain and lay out and have a little bit more clarity, we'll probably never get there. It'll be awesome. And I don't know if it has like maybe post-election and, you know, where we'll be. And then you say, well, post-election, it all depends on who gets elected because things are going to go in, you know, who knows which direction, depending on which individual is elected president. But next steps there is voting on, you know, going in front of the politicians, reach out to them, talk to them. That's about the only thing folks could do at this point. What do you guys think? What are you looking forward to? What's going to happen in the week to come? If we could guess any news, I don't know how someone could not locally in the United States can top that drone light show. That'll be nuts. I know globally it's already been done. I was actually kind of
interested to see what Sky Elements does next because I mean, how do you top what they do? Like, they set their own personal bar, in my opinion, and not only their own personal, but like a record in America. So that's insane. What's next?
There's a reason, like, I'm pretty sure that was the golden buzzer. I'm pretty sure Sky Elements was the America's Got Talent golden buzzer crew as well. So it really makes sense. And every time they do something like this, like, can you imagine the amount of people who are like, I don't know if they're taking investors or the amount of money they added to their bank account after doing that show
for Marvel.
but it really seems like if from the outside looking in, like they're reinvesting back into the organization, which is, you know, what you really hear most startups do in your first 5 years It's not so much about making money and saying we have all this money in the bank account, because you know money sitting in a bank account is positive if you're retiring, or but if you're trying to build and grow your business, you want to like you know use that money, buy more drones, do bigger shows. You know, you do a show, you do a show, you do a show, you take some of that money, you buy more drones, you do a bigger show, you do a bigger show, you do a bigger show, you take that money. And it just really seems Sky Elements is just on this like, you know, hockey stick trajectory. So congratulations to them. And hopefully the weather continues to stay clear, because at this point it seems like, you know, that's the one big factor that's going to contribute to them not being able to deliver what people have come to expect from their organ. Slap. Yeah, I know Terry. I know in the past you're not like a huge slap. I didn't even say the whole word slap, and he already knows what I'm going to say. Slap, right? No. But I don't know. Dana White seems to think, he says this is the fastest growing thing, the most successful. Growing
delusional.
He's ever
lost
been
so much money that Hard. He is delusional. He's
really
making up shit.
Sorry. He says billions of views on the YouTubes. He's
billions
just
of people are saying how stupid it is. I mean, it's I'm sure their numbers aren't doing good anymore. I haven't seen anything about it, man.
dude, and he got that crazy like Russian dude. Like anytime you typed in slap on YouTube, that guy would show up, and it was like, look, I know people get into their magnet fishing and all this other stuff, but you know, some of us, you know, just like, you know, we don't want to have to sit there for like 90 minutes and watch a whole game. It's like just, you know, a couple slaps and we'll instant
brain rot, dude.
Instant gratification. But, dude, that Siberian monster guy, that was like a YouTube legend, actually joined the slap league, and he slapped somebody last. It's like, no, you're right. Like after you see this guy slap somebody, like that should be not legal. Like that, at least this guy is like way too good at this. And he just put this, it was insane. If anyone hasn't heard of
it, it's Power Slap. Don't go look at it. It's bad. I don't know what Paul's on about. Watch anything else. Go watch what was the horse stuff?
Dressage.
Go watch dressage.
The equivalent.
An actual sport, you know? With skill.
It gave me an idea. Power Slap on horseback.
Oh, my God. It's like jousting?
God, what is it? Lancing? Jousting, but with like just throwing hands on the back of a horse.
You get a video of it on a drone,
man. Yeah,
does jousting still exist? Maybe to like an extent.
There is like
medieval times
in the movies.
Jousting footage would be sick.
Yeah, no, there is. Like, have you got a? Isn't that called medieval times?
Yeah. Well, that's a live performance. I don't know what like safety measures they do, but I'm pretty sure they do jousting.
I think at medieval time they do like knight MMA. That is actually fun to watch. This is dudes in
full gear,
dudes in like armor, no, beating the hell out of each other with dull swords.
So if there's something you never type in is car jitsu, right? Power slap.
I've seen like that one.
Jiu-jitsu's fire, all right?
I was just like, power slap is here, and then like car jitsu is like down here. It is just strange.
I got my prediction. I'm sorry. I was thinking about it. My drone prediction for next week is somebody, I don't know if it's a hydrogen bomb or like a small nuclear bomb, but I know they made a small missile for one of the new jets that are coming out that is it basically carries a small nuclear warhead of some sort, and it is it doesn't have like too crazy of range, and they're trying to justify that to use just like normally without like dropping big nuclear bombs. But yeah, so nuclear weapons will exist. It's just not as big as you think they will be, and I think they should put that on a drone. Sorry, I just rambled there.
Yeah, no, right on.
Evil scientist.
We had a fantastic episode this week We discussed the Olympics, some drone usage at the Olympics that wasn't necessarily authorized in order to, you know, get a little bit of a competitive advantage. So we'll see, you know, where that leaves Team Canada, women's soccer team. And as Terry said, we can't blame the whole Canadian soccer team, but no, they're certain we can, and they're certainly being dragged into it here. So there's quite a few just controversial topics. You know, you can't have this many countries coming together, this many people, without there being just, you know, some stories. And we also dove a little bit into how the politicians and the public is just really questioning the use of drones in order to help secure VIP figures, political events, and things of that nature. Not just the flying of the drones, but also the counter UAS systems. The ability to detect a drone operating within a quarter mile, half a mile, 1 mile range. That technology is readily available. Private industries are purchasing it and installing it on a regular basis. Government, prisons, police departments, things like that, they're implementing this. Stadiums, right? We have sporting stadiums that have counter UAS detection systems. So the reason that we can't have those technologies integrated in our highest organizations of security, it really is somewhat unfathomable. On the tech spotlight side, we looked at the Swiss hugging drone, using that ability to kind of perch. It'll be interesting to see how that technological capability is adapted and integrated into future UAS systems. Like Terry kind of dropped a bomb there, not a hydrogen one, but the idea of like, hey, you could have a camera, you could put up a temporary, you know, security or overwatch system that could be deployed, you know, picked up in a, you know, really hasty environment or a hasty situation. Touched on the drone light show that was associated with Comic-Con. Absolutely amazing Sky Element drone. So I think that's also a success story. Really excited for Samuel to continue to be bringing us, you know, what their developments are. Samuel, you got to follow them on social media.
Who says I'm not?
Stay on top of what they're doing. Oh, all right. We looked at SkySafe winning a contract, again, staying on that counter UAS and drone detection, using this at the border. So, like, again, this technology exists. We're implementing it at the border. We're using it we're keeping our community safe. Putting this deterrent and detection system at the border is going to prevent this crap, fentanyl, drugs, criminals, right, from getting to where they shouldn't be. So that's really exciting and really neat to see. And we should be taking that same technology and using it in, you know, other areas and aspects of our daily lives here in the United States to make us safe. And then finally, we touched on the fact that Senator Rick Scott introduces the amendment into the NDAA that covers the same language as the countering CCP drone that we saw in the House. So still doesn't leave us with any sure answers or clarity as far as which way things are going. It's information anyway. So as always, really appreciate everybody tuning in. Appreciate your time and attention. Hope that you gained some insight and knowledge from the conversations that we had today. Weekly Wings, DroneLife.com podcast. Again, really, really another exciting episode. And I was thinking, I think this is like episode 13 or something. Like, man, we've been doing this for what, at least 3 months now.
Episode
14. Thank you, Terry. So we've been doing this for at least 3 months, and it's awesome. I look forward to continue doing it because just from week to week, being able to dive into these different stories, it's, I'm learning a little bit and enjoy sharing this time with you guys and getting your input and insights here. And again, thank you to all of our listeners who are continuing to tune in. We appreciate your time and your input. So Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Samuel. We will see everybody next.